Horses to order. It's April 9th, 2012. It's 3:36 in the afternoon. The order of business today will be, and not necessarily in this order, but confirmation on Board of Fish. And then I want to also take up HJR 6, HB 118, and then if we got time, Senator Pascoman would sit here, Senate Bill 207, and introduce that to the committee. And so since we have a quorum, I'd like to take up HCR 26. I've allotted 10 minutes for this brief presentation by the bill sponsor, and then questions by the committee, and we'll see what the committee wants to do with HCR 26.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome, Representative Wilson. In addition to that, I'd like to make the statement that we have Senator Geisel in the audience with us. Any other legislators out there? Let's see. Welcome, Senator Geisel. And present at the table is myself, Co-Chair Wagoner, my co-chair, Senator Pasvan, Senator Wilkowski, Senator French, and Senator Stevens. With that, Representative Wilson, almost promoted you. The floor is yours.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Representative Peggy Wilson from District 2. And Mr. Chairman, this resolution was presented last week, and you asked at that time what happened in House Committee when this resolution was heard. And just so you know, of the 11 testimonies that were heard, 8 were in support, and there were 3 animal activists who did not support it. And initially there were a few concerns all among the native leaders about the original third resolve clause regarding the use of sea otter pelts. So we worked with Sea Alaska on that, and together we rewrote the third resolve clause to what you have before you. And most of the testimony agreed that a plan needs to be developed to deal with the increase in sea otter problem. And that is what this resolution is doing. We want to encourage stakeholders, federal, state, Native peoples, and the public just to come to the table to find a solution to this issue. And we're not advocating what that solution is, but we just want them to talk about it. And so that's basically what you have before you.
Questions by the committee?
I guess, thanks.
Senator French.
I'll just ask because I think some of the, I noticed this got a lot of support in the other body, and yet I'm suddenly hearing from some people, and you can just address this, there's concern about this being some way of going about predator control for sea otters. Do you want to address that?
Oh, well, I haven't heard that at all, and that's definitely not my intent at all. I mean, it's just, we just want to somehow deal with it, and it can be in a small way, actually. So I have no idea what they will come up with.
I just thought I'd ask. I note that the bill on page 3 at the bottom, line 28, says harvest and marine mammals for subsistence use. That's the only direct reference I see to harvest is for subsistence use.
Yeah,
am I missing something?
No, they're all, actually, natives can are the only ones that can really do things with the pelts and sell them. And so that's the only thing that's going on now, and hopefully I think the natives would like to see a change in the definition only so that they can have a niche market.
And they can harvest now, so there's
yes.
No change in that.
No change there.
No.
Okay. Additional questions? One question I'd just like to ask, and I don't know this for a fact. I have a friend that hunts sea otters, but just very haphazardly and randomly. But is there a number that they can harvest per person? I don't think there's any restriction on numbers, is there? So one person can take as many as they can dispose of. Okay. That had nothing to do with this bill. So. Just one point of interest. Any other questions? What's the pleasure of the committee at this time?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we move the CS for House Joint Resolution Number 26 amended. I believe it's version D.A from this committee and next committee, a referral of individual recommendations and attach fiscal note if any.
Mr. Chair, can I?
Senator Wilcox.
Just speaking to the motion, it's a resolution and doesn't carry a whole lot of weight, but I too have received a number of contacts, emails, phone calls from people who are concerned that this is the camel's nose under the tent for predator control and of sea otters, which would really be a big policy change. So passed the body, other body, pretty overwhelmingly. I'm not going to object to it because it is a resolution, but just wanted to say that there are concerns out there. I've heard them, and I heard Senator French has heard them, obviously, too.
Representative Wilson. Sorry. Through the chair, there has actually been not even an inkling of that thought at all. And I want to assure you that in all of the deliberations we had, in all the, there were a lot of people that were wanting me to go ahead and have this resolution, but that never, ever even was mentioned.
And I'm glad to have that on the record, Mr. Chairman.
I will remove my objection. I had objected to the bill last time it was in front of us. I'll remove that objection. And we have a motion in front of us at this time to move the bill. Is there any objection from the body at this time? Seeing none, the bill will move. And with that, we'll take a brief at ease. Order. Okay, at this time, we will take up the confirmation hearings on the Board of Fish. We have two appointments to consider, Carl Johnstone and Orville Huntington. At this time, I'd like Mr. Johnstone to speak briefly, and after he's done, we'll hear from Mr. Huntington. Then I'm going to go to public hearing, and we're going to just take public hearing on both individuals. So we'll just go right down the list, and at the end of the discussion, the board, the committee can ask the questions they have. So with that, are you on, Mr. Johnstone?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Proceed with about a three-minute thumbnail sketch of why you want to be reappointed to the Board of Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Many of you know about me already, but basically I came to Alaska directly out of law school in March of 1967 and drove to Alaska. I had received a job offer, and so I was coming up to work. I quickly discovered that Alaska was the place for me for many reasons, not the least of which were its career opportunities, but also mainly for me its outdoor opportunities. I immediately fit into the outdoors. I fished and hunted, and it became quite pleasurable for me. I've maintained a home in Alaska ever since, and I intend to do so for the indefinite foreseeable future. I started practicing law in 67 until 1979, when I was appointed by Governor for it. And that's where I served until the late 90s, the last 4 years of which I served as the presiding judge for the 3rd Judicial District. That's a pretty significantly large district, going all the way down through the Aleutian Chain, south central Kodiak all the way through Cordova to the eastern border of Alaska. After retiring in the late 90s, I had a very limited law practice, served as a mediator, occasionally an arbitrator, and did that until I was appointed to the Board of Fish in December 2008. Initially was appointed to serve out Board Member Jeremiah Campbell's term. He had 1 year left when he left, and so I served that 1 year. Then I was appointed to a full 3 year term in 2009 by then Governor Palin, and I've served in that capacity since. In October last year, I was elected as the chairman of the Board of Fish. When I was first appointed to the board, Mr. Chairman, I thought I knew quite a bit about the fisheries resource of the state. I had fished commercially in Bristol Bay as a set netter and a drift netter. I had CFEC permits for both. I also fished in Southeast and Prince William Sound for herring, and I had CFEC permits for both of those. I thought I knew something about the resource, but I found out very quickly I was very uninformed and faced a very steep learning curve. Over time, with much work, I think I'm starting to get it. As many of you would attest, in your positions, the first years are somewhat difficult. But after going through the process a few times, things begin to make sense. This is particularly true for fish board members, where it takes 3 years to complete a full cycle where all fisheries in the state are covered at least once. I've done that and an additional year on top of that. In most cases, board members who complete a full term do become better members and do a better job. I feel like I am in that category. My background as a judge and a lawyer has helped me in many ways. I'm a fairly quick reader, and there's an enormous amount of material to read. I'm fairly good at getting down to the questions that are important. And I'm willing to serve the state another term. This is not an easy job. It's to some extent, it's thankless in many respects. I've been asked if I enjoy it, and I say that's really not the right word for it, but I do feel challenged. I think I'm doing a good job. I know that it's a job that you can't please everybody, similar to my earlier job on the bench. And the longer you're at it, the more people are going to be disappointed in some of your decisions. But I'm willing to do it again for another 3 years. The state's been very good to me and my family, and I was told by many people when I was initially considering this job that I should give something back in a constructive manner, and I'm willing to do so, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Johnstone. Orville Huntington? Try again. We barely hear you.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm in Hooslea. It's kind of a rural area, so you might not hear me too good.
A lot better now. You got a little closer. So go ahead, please.
Yeah, I certainly don't have the long experience of Carl, but I've been around fishing all my life. My Uncle Sidney retired off the Board of Game, 20 years on the Board of Game, and my dad was on the Board of Fish, Jimmy Huntington. So I've had really good teachers. We're not really a people that talks about ourselves. I lived out here all my life, raised here in Hooslea, and lived in Galena and fished along the Yukon, and then I got my wildlife degree, and I understand the fisheries issues, and I understand that we have to base our best decisions on science and take the local concerns into consideration, but in the end, conservation is always our should always be our goal, that there's something there for all Alaskans in the future. And honestly, I really don't have anything else to say other than that. I just honored that the governor nominated me, and I appreciated the questions from the legislature. I look forward to yours.
Okay, Orville, thank you. And if you folks would stand by in case there's questions, I'm sure there'll be questions by the committee. First to testify, Brian Kraft.
Hello, everybody hear me?
We hear you fine. Please put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony. Two minutes, please.
Sure thing. My name is Brian Kraft. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. Own three sport fishing lodges in the state of Alaska. I'm testifying in favor of reappointment of Carl Johnstone to the Board of Fish. I've had the occasion to submit proposals that Carl Johnstone has had to weigh in on. He's always been fair, been willing to give time. He doesn't always agree with me, which I actually like. He puts me in check. He says these ideas are crazy or these ideas are good for the resource. And he always takes into account that the resource comes first. He understands the economic needs of the commercial fisheries, understands the economic needs of the sport fisheries, weighs the balance, always keeps subsistence in the forefront, and does a tremendous job. Think the Board of Fish would be much less without Carl Johnstone. He has a tremendous track history, has been involved in law and being a judge, gives him a great vantage point in which to look through the facts and come to a fair and equitable determination. I strongly recommend that the Senate approves the appointment of Carl Johnstone for another term.
Thank you. Any questions of the testifier? Thank you very much, Mr. Kraft. Next is Heath Hilliard in Anchorage.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Heath Hilliard. I'm the Executive Director for the Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, representing charter operators and lodge owners throughout Southeast Alaska. Like Mr. Kraft, I'm testifying in support of the reappointment of Carl Johnstone for the Board of Fisheries position. And like Mr. Kraft, I've had many of the same experiences with Johnstone recently. My attendance at the Ketchikan Board of Fisheries meeting in March was my first Board of Fisheries meeting in my capacity and my first opportunity to have to deal with Mr. Johnstone. In addition to being very willing to work with me and assist me in understanding some of the nuances of the Board of Fisheries process, like Mr. Kraft, Mr. Johnstone was very frank and honest when he simply didn't agree with the position of myself or my organization. One such situation was we had submitted a proposal with regard to changing allocation structure of commercial rockfish in Southeast Alaska between charter and commercial. And Mr. Johnstone was quite honest and direct with me and simply saying, you know what, there's not enough scientific evidence to suggest that this allocation change is needed at this time, so I won't be supporting it. And he didn't. I think that is a clear indication of somebody who puts the overall health of the resource first. And I can personally attest that, you know, Mr. Johnstone made himself available to various stakeholder groups and members of the public throughout that Board of Fisheries meeting, that 10 days in Ketchikan, often very early in the morning until very, very late at night. He really, truly is an asset to the Board of Fish, and I certainly hope that this panel will consider forwarding him to the full body. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Seeing none, we'll go to Sitka, Ron Porter.
Chairman, members of the Resources Committee, thank you for the opportunity to present my side of the story. My name is Ronald Porter. I'm a resident of Ketchikan, Alaska, born and raised here, been in the state for 69 years. I would like to speak in opposition to the retention of Carl Johnstone. I've been to two board meetings that he's presided over. And I believe we're coming upon a time with the board that the board is broken. What has made the fish board great is the process. And the process is rapidly going away. Mr. Johnstone has a vendetta against different arms of the commercial fishery, especially here in southeastern Alaska. His dressing down of the department, paying no attention whatsoever to the scientific data that is presented by hours and hours and hours of research by our state people. I think he's a poor choice for chairman, and I think if he's left there, your board will just become non-functional in a short period of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. Any questions, Mr. Porter? Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Porter. Next, we'll go to Petersburg, Stan Malcolm.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Stan Malcolm. I own and operate a sport fishing charter service here in Petersburg. I am currently the president of the Petersburg Charter Boat Association and will be testifying for them in support of Mr. Carl Johnstone's reappointment and confirmation to the Board of Fisheries. Having attended all of the Southeast Board of Fisheries meetings since Mr. Johnstone was first appointed, I have seen that his primary concern is for the long-term sustainability of our resources, and his interest in how the department manages those resources is more than just an automatic endorsement of their recommendations. While I haven't agreed with every position taken by Mr. Johnstone, I haven't seen any bias for or against any particular user group, and his decisions seem to be based on the facts and science presented to him. He has been readily available to the public, and that, along with his interaction with the department staff, indicates to me an interest in fully understanding the issues. His professionalism in how he conducts the board process as chair is the best I've seen in over 20 years of attending Board of Fisheries meetings. Mr. Johnstone brings a fair and reasoned approach to the decisions he makes, as well as how those decisions affect the different user groups. If he is not reconfirmed, it will be a loss for the state of Alaska and its resource users. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions by the committee? Seeing none, we'll go to Cordova LIO. Dan Earnhardt.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dan Earnhardt. I'm the executive director of the Sayu River Coalition, and I live in Cordova. I am representing myself here today, and I'm speaking in support of the Carl Johnstone reappointment. I do have to say I'm impressed with the way Mr. Johnstone handles meetings that he's been chairman of. He has a good sense of timing. He keeps it moving at a good pace, and he has the ability to crawl it in when things start to go astray. He's very knowledgeable, I found, and he's able to talk fluently about most of the fisheries around the state. He doesn't try to compare his home area to other fisheries around the state. It's something that other board members seem to do quite often. Being a former judge, it's given him a thick skin, and he's really not easily intimidated or weak when special interests try to get to him or sway his vote. I think he votes on what's fair and is what's right, and not what is expected of him because of where he's from or his background in the fisheries. And his explanations on the way he voted are very understandable and make total sense to the layperson in the audience. He doesn't leave you scratching your head wondering what just happened. And he really does have a genuine desire to keep the integrity of the board first and foremost during the meetings. And so with all that said, I think he's very valuable to the state and its precious fisheries and resources. And I have this one last thing is, I've been to several of these meetings now, and it's clear to me that experience on the board is critical to making informed, long-term decisions. And I think constant turnover is counterproductive. So I support the reappointment of Carl Johnstone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions? No questions. Thank you very much. Next, we'll go to the Anchorage LIO, Jim Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Resource Committee, my name is Jim Stubbs. I'm the Vice Chair of the Anchorage Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and today I'm testifying for them. And as Vice Chairman, I'm the spokesman for Anchorage to the Board of Fish. My first meeting I attended for Board of Fish was in 1983, and I haven't missed one since then. So I've gleaned a fairly good knowledge of what it takes to be a good board member and to be productive for the state of Alaska. And one thing I've noticed over the years as I've seen a lot of board members come and go is there are several things that are critical if they're going to do their job and benefit all the people of the state of Alaska. One of them is they need to be a good listener. And one thing I've noticed about Mr. Johnstone, he is a very good listener. I could approach him, I could discuss items with him, he would take it up. I've had board members in the past that wouldn't give you the time of day. Or if they listened to you, they were just kind of looking around and not really paying their attention. The other thing I've noticed is you need to have a member that is well studied and well versed on the issues. It's kind of sad when you go up to one of the board members and you've been working on something for 6 months and start to discuss it with him, and they don't have a clue what you're talking about because they haven't come prepared over that. You know, Upper Cook Inlet, as we know, is a very contentious board meeting every time. The history runs way back on the proposals, how they go together. The history is very complex there. And as we have heard before, it's very important that you've had somebody that's been through one or two of the cycles so they understand how all the pieces of these proposals go together. And so I think it's critical that Johnstone has a chance to get back in there again. His expertise as a judge...
Please finish up. Your time is run off. Hello?
But we do support Judge Johnstone in this position.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions? All right. Next, we'll go to Bethel LIO, Greg Rozicka. I hope I got that name right. Get a little closer to your mic, would you, Greg, or your telephone, whichever you're using?
Yes, is that better?
That's better, thanks.
Okay, I hear myself talking back every now. For the record, my name is Greg Rozicka. I've been involved in resource management issues at pretty much every level, regional, statewide, national, international, for about the last 20, 25 years. Served a stint on a state board of game, two consecutive terms back in the 90s, into the 2000s. And I'm currently the co-chair on the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group, on the Lower Kuskokwim Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and also serve on the Federal Subsistence Council. So I've been around a bit, and I wanted to just come forward and speak to supporting both of the individuals that you have up for confirmation at this time, both Audible and Mr. Johnstone. I've had the pleasure of working with him a little bit through the past, and Mr. Johnstone, of course, being fairly new, but as the other speakers or testifiers have mentioned, even though you don't always get your way and you don't necessarily agree with all his decisions, you know, you're listened to, and if you can make a good case, you got a good chance of getting him on your side. And I'm reminded of areas in the past where people say if it's good science, if it agrees with their personal opinions, and if it doesn't, it's bad science. And folks will say you never listen to us, and that also depends a lot on if they happen to get their way or not at any given meeting. Mr. Huntington, although he's new on the board, he's a real quick study. He knows the issues, as you say, and I believe he'll make a very good and effective board member as well in achieving that geographic representation that is desired on the board. So I'd urge your support of both Mr. Huntington and Mr. Johnstone. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? See no questions. Next, we'll go to Matt Sue, Larry Engel.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine. Put yourself on record and proceed, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm Larry Engel. I'd like to real briefly tell you a little bit about myself so you can evaluate my comments. I've spent about 30 years of Fish and Game attending Board of Fisheries meetings. I served on the Board of Fish myself for three terms, three of those years as the chairman. I think I've seen the good, if you will, the bad and the ugly of the abilities during those many years. I believe that one of the strengths of the Board of Fisheries is that it's a very open process for the public, easy for the public to get involved and easy for the public to evaluate the performance of the board. And therein, that's where I think Carl Johnstone stands out very high amongst board members that I have worked with and I have observed. He has the ability to articulate his views. He has the ability to gather information from staff and the public testimony and through the various committee processes. And very importantly, after gathering that information, discussing it with his own board members, he explains his rationale for coming to the decision that he has come to. And I think that's very important for the board process to know these are very contentious, they're very difficult, and not only based on highly scientific data, to let the public know exactly how you arrived at the decision you did relative to the fisheries. I think this is extremely, extremely important. And without saying any more, I certainly support the governor's reappointment of Carl and would hope that you folks would look favorably at him also as a second term. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions? Seeing no questions. Next, we'll go to Terry Ellis.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm Terry Ellis. I live here in Wasilla. I'm representing myself and my family, and we're simply users of the resource. And I support your reappointment of Carl Johnstone to the Board of Fisheries. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Next, go to Greg Quentin in Anchorage.
Doesn't want to testify.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Al Barrett, Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Al Barrett. I reside in Fairbanks. I'm not here to oppose Mr. Johnstone's confirmation. I'm here to simply to point out Mr. Johnstone, for the most part, is well prepared for each meeting and does listen to concerned persons. But I do not believe he hears all the issues all the time, nor fully researches the statutes or regulations, neither their intent to the proposal submitted to the Board of Fish. I believe Mr. Johnstone struggles somewhat with subsistence law, Alaska Supreme Court decisions, and the five non-subsistence areas. The case in point is the Chitna personal use fishery. In 1978, the state enacted rural priority. In 82, the Board of Fish enacted personal use regulations and subsistence use regulations, commonly known as the eight criteria for finding a positive or a negative finding for customary and traditional uses. In 1986, the legislature enacted state statute 1605-258, subsistence uses for allocation of fish and game, which after a positive finding of C&T, the board shall allocate by priority to who shall have opportunity to harvest fish or game in times of shortage. In 1990, the McDowell court case, Alaska Supreme Court case, said all Alaskans are eligible to participate in subsistence. Thus, the joint boards met in 92 and enacted the five non-subsistence areas. This act is important because of Alaska Administrative Code 77001, personal use regulations, clearly states that the present areas of the state with harvestable surplus of fish in excess of both spawning, escapement, and present levels of subsistence, commercial and sport uses, the areas mentioned here are the five non-subsistence areas from 92. It is necessary to establish fisheries classified as personal use because since the sale of fish is not appropriate or permissible, this fish cannot be classified as commercial. Since the use is not customary and traditional use, this fishery cannot be classified as subsistence. Well, Chitna red salmon have a positive finding of C&T. They reside, the Chitna area is outside any of the five non-subsistence areas, and the Board of Fish and Mr. Johnstone continually struggle about making that a subsistence fishery. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Next, we'll go to Soldotna. Andy Sesney.
Yes, thank you for pronouncing that right.
I had some help.
My name is Andy Sesney. I reside in Soldotna at mile 19 on the Kenai River. For the last 27 years, I've been a fly fishing guide in Cooper Landing and was appointed to the Board of Fish by Mr. Knowles. I'm in favor of Mr. Johnstone's confirmation. He's probably one of the brightest and most prepared board member that I've seen in 20 years. And I'm going to cut this short because we have a lot more people. So thank you very much.
Thank you for taking the time to come testify, Andy. Next, Steve McClure.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Steve McClure. I've lived in Soldotna for the last 30 years. I've gone to the Cook Inlet meetings since the last 15 years. And last winter when I was at the Upper Cook Inlet meetings, I had the opportunity to observe Mr. Johnstone at work.
And I have to say that I was extremely impressed with his knowledge, his fairness, and the resource-first attitude. So I'm here to testify in favor of Carl Johnstone. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Next, go to Joe Connors. You on there, Joe?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to speak also in favor of the confirmation of Carl Johnstone and tell you that many of the comments that I would say have already been said. They're extremely positive. But what I like most about Carl is the fact that he can break through an argument. He's very analytical. And what I've observed that some people would attribute as a negative from my perspective is actually a positive, in that he can cut through the BS and the garbage and pin you right down. And yes, as a result, he might take a position that you're not inclined to want to support. But we're dealing with fully allocated resources in all of our areas geographically around the state, and his leadership and expertise just amazes me. I think he's one of the best I've seen in 30 years of following the Board of Fish process, and I thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Good to hear you. Next is Gary Chamberlain.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. My name is Gary Chamberlain. I reside in Sterling, Alaska. I've been there for about 30 years. I'm in support of Mr. Johnstone's appointment. I've been to several of the Board of Fish, and it seems that he is very knowledgeable on all the issues throughout the state and is very conservation-minded. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That was Senator Wagner had to go away. Any questions? That was Mr. Chamberlain. No questions for Mr. Chamberlain. We now have Monty Roberts, Soldotna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Monty Roberts. I live in Soldotna, Alaska, and I've only lived there for 20 years, but I've been active in the Board of Fish for the last 15 of it, and I would just like to echo that Carl Johnstone is very prepared, very accessible, and he doesn't always agree with you, but he'll listen to you. You get a chance to explain your viewpoints, and we really appreciate that. So we support the reconfirmation of Carl Johnstone.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. We now go to Murray Fenton, Soldotna.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. My name is Murray Fenton. I live in Sterling, Alaska. I've been in this area for close to 30 years now, and I'm here in support of confirmation of Mr. Johnstone also, mostly because of his accessibility and his willingness to listen and his preparedness and all our key things, especially in this area with things as contentious as they are. So I just want to go on record and support.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fenton. We now go to Mike Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Crawford. I'm the chairman of the Kenai-Soldotna Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I'll be speaking for myself today. I'd like to speak in support of Mr. Carl Johnstone. He's been effective as a chairman and board member. He comes very well prepared, as you've heard. He's available before, during, and after the board meetings. The fact that he's a retired Superior Court judge and attorney brings a wealth of information and knowledge to the board. His experience both as a commercial and sport fisherman help him understand the important issues. So I'd like to see Mr. Johnstone confirmed here. Mr. Huntington, I had a concern about something in his write-up about Aboriginal fishing rights and how he supported those. And he answered that in the House Resources Committee, so I'm going to be in support of Mr. Huntington with that answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your testimony. Next is, and Matt's is Steve Runyon. Runyon? Yeah.
Thank you. My name is Steve Runyon. I'm the chair of the Sioux Valley Advisory Committee. I've been a fishing guide in the Matsu Valley here. I've lived in this area since 1985. I've been involved with the board process as an AC member since 04. RAC supported Johnstone's original appointment. Since then, we have seen nothing to change our minds on that. We've been very pleased with his work on the board. We believe he has brought his bench experience to the board in his questioning during public testimony, his comments during deliberation, and most importantly, making sure that new regulations and existing regulations comply with MSY principles, Nagelson-Stevens Act, and Alaska Sustainable Management Policy, all of which are difficult to understand, and we believe he's done a great job with that and bringing those to the table and comparing any new proposals to those acts and acts, policies, and statutes. He's very serious about the compliance with those, and we've seen board members in the past treat them more as annoyances to be dealt with and kind of moved around rather than seriously complying with them. For example, at the last Cook Inlet meeting, he helped take a bundle of proposals from both sport and commercial fishing camps regarding Northern District Chinook salmon, which have drastically declined in number in recent years. He crafted a compromise that cut fishing time and area from both groups in the interest of conservation. Didn't seem to matter which cap you were wearing. He would listen to anyone that came to him with concerns about these fisheries. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's all.
Thank you, Steve. Next, Bruce Knowles.
Yes, sir. I'm Bruce Knowles from Willow. I serve on the Sioux Valley Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I serve on the Mat-Su Borough Game and Fish Commission. I just want to say that we support Carl Johnstone because he has brought forth what everybody is talking about today. This is what we have needed, is a new outlook. When Mr. Engel came on board, he brought a new outlook. When Mr. Coffey came on board, he brought a new outlook. And Carl Johnstone is just continuing that tradition. And I think if you can make it a six-year term, I would like to see that. So, no, just support him and wish him the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next, go to Loretta Bullard. I'm sorry.
Good afternoon. This is Loretta Bullard from Kowarik in Nome, and I'm here today to testify in support of Orville Huntington's confirmation to the Board of Fish. Orville's a lifelong Alaskan, living mostly in the interior of the state. He has his Bachelor's of Science in Wildlife Biology and is very aware of the complicated fisheries management systems and issues that affect all of us, interior and western Alaska. Certainly the Arctic Yukon-Kuskokwim, which consists of the Bering Straits region, the AVCP, and the interior portion of the state, the Doyon region. There are many issues associated with the fisheries in these areas, and we'd very much like to see someone that's familiar with these issues appointed to the Board of Fish, as well as an individual that is a subsistence user that's dependent on the resources for subsistence purposes, not necessarily commercial fishing or sports fishing. In addition to Orville's educational background and interest in the issue, Orville would bring many personal attributes to the Board of Fish process. He's respectful, knowledgeable, a team player, engaged, does his homework, and is dedicated to making the best management decisions such that our fisheries will support Alaskans for generations to come. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Loretta. Next is Richard Yamada.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Richard Yamada. I have a sport fishing lodge in Southeast Alaska for the past 30 years. I do sit on the Juneau Douglas AC. I'm also the president of the Juneau Charter Boat Operators Association, and I also sit on the board of the Alaska Charter Association. And I'm here to testify in favor of Carl Johnstone's reappointment to the Board of Fish. I've attended both of the last two Southeast Cycle Board of Fish meetings, and I've seen Mr. Johnstone's action, most recently in the Ketchikan Board of Fishery meetings, where he's now the chairman. And I echo everything that's been said positively about his action. He's very fair, very knowledgeable about the fisheries. And I'm going to make this short, because I'm going to reiterate everything that everybody else has said. I wish you consider his reappointment to the Board of Fish. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard, for your testimony. Next, in Kasiloff, George Pierce.
Are you there?
Go ahead, George.
Thank you, Tom, and members. No to Mr. Johnstone. You know what's amazing? Listen to the testimony. Did you notice all the Sport Fishing Association and the special interest groups that are calling to get this Mr. Johnstone back in there? You know, I haven't heard one single person say that he's qualified, other than being a nice guy and he makes fair judgment. This is what's the matter with our fish board. They're swayed by special interest groups, just like what you've just heard from. We need people that are biologists and scientist-based. We're not represented. The people of Alaska are not represented by this fish board. They're represented by special interest groups. There was no qualifications. He don't have any other than being a judge. I don't know the gentleman, but we need a change. This system is broke with our fish board. They're swayed by special interest groups here, fellas, and we need to stop what's going on here. It needs to be science, and it right now it's politically based, the whole thing. It needs to stop, and you gentlemen, I hope, and especially now's the time to step up to the plate and do what the community wants. I know you've heard from all these special interest groups about Mr. Johnstone. Take a look at that. Why? Because they can control what they're doing. Based. Thank you very much. Thanks for letting me speak.
Thanks, George. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Tom.
Next, that's all I have online. Is there anybody else online?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. With that, we'll go to Juno. Ron Somerville.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ron Somerville. I'm here to testify for the Territorial Sportsmen. We're a local sportsman conservation group here in Juneau. We have about 1,800 members. I'm here to testify in support of Carl Johnstone. I don't know him personally, say that, but having looked at his record, I think there's several things that are kind of important. One is the issue of fairness. And if in fact you voted just on the special interest, as one of the other individuals said, I'd be here testifying against him because he voted against us twice at this last meeting. And so, but he had good reasons for doing that, and I appreciate the fact he stated them. And so we're still here voting or supporting him because we think that he does his homework, he reads the information, which I think most of you have seen the Board of Fish documents. They're voluminous, and I'll also tell you that a lot of the board members don't read that stuff. I'm convinced that Mr. Johnstone does. Anyway, other than that, I don't want to repeat what everybody else has said. We do feel he's been a good board member, and I think one thing I'm asking you to look at, and that is balance on the board, not just people who vote for Comfish or Sport Fish, but people who have try to vote their conscience and based upon good science. Thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you, Ron. Next person to testify, Paul Shadura. Paul?
Since I'm going to speak on both of them, I guess I'm just going to abbreviate all this and try to save that time.
Got 2 minutes, Paul.
Okay. For the record, my name is Paul A. Shadura II. I'm a resident of the Soldotna, Alaska. Today I'm commenting on the reappointment of Board of Fisheries member Carl Johnstone as a director of the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association. It is our desire that the governor and the legislature continue to further strive for even representation for all stakeholders. Alaska has approximately 6,640 miles of coastline. That does not include the inland waterways and the lakes. We ardently believe the regulations promulgated by the Board of Fish create policies that affect the lives of every resident within the state. KPFA strongly suggests that the board members each state clearly their reasons for denying or limiting the fair and reasonable opportunity one group over another. The public has a right to know how each board member decides how to weigh the interest of one user group over another user group. The public deserves to understand how the individual board member reasons their decisions to deny or diminish access to the resource of one resident over another. The public has a right to hear in a public meeting the decision-making process in an honest and open forum. We appreciate the complex issues that the board members are tasked to make decisions on a continuing basis. At the last Cook Inlet regulatory meeting, March 2011, a decision was made that I personally found to be lacking on the board's duty to be fair and reasonable. I approached the board member, John Stone, and expressed my confusion of the lack of process. I commented, "But you are a judge." Mr. Johnston turned, walked away, stopped, came back to me to say, "I'm not a judge anymore." Now, I do not know and still do not know what that meant. It is my understanding that the board was created by the legislature with the assistance of the administration for the conservation and development of the fishery resources with a view of providing diversity of interests and points of view. We would hope that this quasi-judicial board will consider the fairness of their decisions and provide to the public rules that are not considered arbitrary, capricious, and abusive discretion of power. KPF 8, one paragraph. KPFA believes that diversity of interest is important and appropriate. In this limited context, we understand Carl Johnstone's approach. We do question the governor on having an overemphasis of representation in one area of the state when so many other areas and stakeholders lack a voice. Our position, as it was 3 years ago, remains neutral for this reappointment based on the question of overrepresentation. And for Orville Huntington, we do support Orville, and we do support the governor's attempt to even the board and to try to make it more responsive to different users within the state.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul. Well, we're dwindling, aren't we? Senator French, just you and I.
We can talk. We're always free to talk.
Vicky Geese.
Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon, Chair, and members of the committee who are still here.
I'd be member.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
My name is Ricky Geese. I'm the Executive Director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association in Soldotna, Alaska. We're a 501c3 fishery conservation organization. We support the renomination and reappointment of Carl Johnstone to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. We have found him to be extremely well-prepared at meetings. I think his experience as a judge facilitates questioning through public testimony, through department reports, and through the committee process of trying to get all the information on the table for board members to make appropriate decisions when they're deciding on proposals in front of the board. During his this term as chair, we think he has done some interesting things to try and improve the openness and transparency of the Board of Fish process. He's instituted a process called the Committee of the Whole, where all board members now, for the more controversial items on a Board of Fisheries agenda, that all board members hear public testimony in the committee process before they go into deliberations, and more of the consent agenda items going through the traditional committee process. We also think he's doing good things with the reconsideration process, trying to get policies and procedures so that everybody, when a vote for reconsideration comes up, has an opportunity to understand why a vote is being taken for reconsideration. For those reasons, we support the reappointment for Judge Johnstone to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. On a personal note, Krista is neutral on the appointment nomination of Orville Huntington to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. We have not yet had the opportunity to talk with him. However, on a personal note, I have talked to different people, and we were impressed with his testimony at the House Fisheries Committee talking about his approach of using science as the basis to make decisions, making sure that the resource comes first, and then allocating any harvestal surplus to the user groups after that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky. Any questions? Next is Bill Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. My name is Bill Brown. I'm currently Vice Chair of the Board of Fish. I was appointed by Governor Palin in 2008 and reappointed by Governor Parnell last year. I met Mr. Johnstone in 2008 and have served on the board with him for 4 years. I feel I know him well. I'm here to give him a very strong recommendation for reappointment. He's extremely well prepared. He reads everything before the meeting. As you may know, we often have 2,000 pages to read before the meeting starts and get another 1,000 or 2,000 pages once the meeting begins. I've been sitting next to him at the meetings for the past year as vice chair, and I'm amazed. The pile of notes he brings to the meeting on the first day from his homework. He's done everything. I read everything. He reads it more, and he does it in more detail. I'm amazed by that. He's extremely fair. He considers all sides of every issue, and his unique background in both commercial and sport fishing lets him see other points of view. Often, I'll say to Carl, I'll say, Carl, we've had a tough meeting. Let's go have a drink and have dinner. He'll say, I can't do it. I've got to meet with USITA. I've got to meet with the crab guys. I've got to meet with the assistance guys. Every night, he's meeting with a different interest group. He works out in the morning before breakfast and then has breakfast with interest groups. He does this full time. As chair, he runs meetings efficiently. He does everything to get all information. Now, Carl and I often find ourselves on different sides of the issue. I haven't added it up, but I suspect, you know, many of our votes are 7-0 or 0-7. But on the votes that are 5-2 or 4-3, I would bet that a quarter of the time he and I vote differently. But I understand why he votes that way. He's so good at explaining it. I think I understand why he voted, but he's good at explaining his points of view. He's logical. He's good. It's my feeling that it's vital for the board to have a broad and knowledgeable perspective. We currently have members with decades of commercial fishing experience, members with history and knowledge of subsistence issues, members engaged in sport fishing and the tourist industry. We have members from all over the state. I think I bring as much or more scientific and statistical background as anyone on the board. And Carl brings his legal expertise. It's vital. Every year we get several lawsuits. We need Carl to help us through those. He works with the staff attorneys, but he explains it to us. We can't do it without him. In the next year or two, we're going to have a pretty big issue with the Kuchnu lawsuit. Carl's already on top of that. He's read it. We've begun discussions on that. I can give Mr. Johnston only the highest possible recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Any questions? Reuben Hankey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Reuben Hankey. I'm from Slobodna. Boy, there's been a lot of testimony here this afternoon. That's one of the longest I've heard in a while, so I won't reiterate a lot of things, but one of the things that I did want to re-emphasize was the fact that Chairman Johnstone's making some changes in the way the Board of Fish does business and the way we've done it in the past. These are good changes. It's making it more open to the public, giving people a chance to relook at things when there's a reconsideration, so say to speak. You know, he'll schedule time certain so people have time to react to that. Those are things that we haven't seen in the past, and those are a definite plus as far as open and transparency goes to the process. I can't say enough about him. He's done a great job, and I hope that you guys will vote to reconfirm him to the Board of Fish. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hankey. Any questions? See no questions. That is all the people here in Juneau that wish to testify. With that, I'm going to close public hearing. And are there any questions of the two candidates from the committee? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Mr. Johnstone. I don't know if I've ever heard so much testimony in favor of one single candidate for the Board of Fish. I'm suspicious. No, I mean, usually people are on both sides of Board of Fish people, so it's impressive, highly impressive. You're clearly extremely well qualified, extremely well prepared, no question whatsoever. I guess my only questions are about some news stories, and you can address them. And about where you live. And I don't even know if there's a rule that a person who is a member of the Board of Fish has to live in Alaska a certain amount of time or not. But there have been some news stories about that and travel expenses for you to stay in hotels and during meetings in Anchorage. And I just wanted to give you the opportunity to address that.
Thank you, Senator. The Chair, I appreciate that question. I actually anticipated it. I read those articles as well. As far as residency, when I was a lawyer and as a judge, I came across residency questions representing people and also having to decide them. I probably know a little bit about what it takes to be a resident, and in my opinion, I'm clearly a resident. I've been a resident since 1967. I've always voted in the state. I've always obtained a resident hunting and fishing license, registered my cars in the state, done all my business through the state of Alaska, have owned homes there, and have never done anything inconsistent with that. I do have a home in Arizona where we spend a big part of the winter. My interest in the snow and the coldness in Anchorage has waned a little bit, and we're able to spend some time in a little warmer climate, and I'm happy to do that. But at the same time, I've never taken advantage of any residency benefits from another state. I still do non-resident fishing and hunting licenses. I register my cars, even the ones down here. I register them in Alaska. I don't vote anyplace else. So I've done nothing inconsistent. My intent has been, and it will remain for the foreseeable future, to be a resident of Alaska. We all know that you can't receive a permanent fund dividend unless you are a resident. And I've applied successfully for and received permanent fund dividends the last 3 years, and been eligible for them in the past, and received quite a few in the past as well. So I'm a resident. Just because I have a winter home doesn't change that. There are a lot of Alaskans that have winter homes that retain their residency. Even some lawmakers have some homes outside the state, and that doesn't change your residency status, and it shouldn't. So as far as being a resident, I am. You have to be a resident of the state in order to serve on the Board of Fish. You have to be a registered voter in the state to serve on the Board of Fish, and I qualify from both those points of view. As far as the receiving some expenses, early on when I attended my first two board meetings in Petersburg and in Sitka, it became apparent that my job, similar to your job, Senator, during the session, and my job during the meeting doesn't start at 8 and end at 5. My work starts as early as 5 o'clock in the morning, where I meet with stakeholders and the public. I have breakfast with them. Afterwards, I meet with others. Lunch hours, I'm meeting with stakeholders. And long into the evening, dinners, other meetings with stakeholders, members of the public, other board members, staff members. So when we had our first meeting in Anchorage, I asked our executive director for board support what I was supposed to do. Was I supposed to stay in a hotel or go home? And he said, well, it's not unique that people stay and receive hotel and per diem. We've had it happen before. We've had Department of Fish and Game staff stay in hotels even when they left in the city where the meeting was taking place. And they preferred that I stay there because they knew that my work wouldn't stop at 5, that I was expected to meet with people to get information so I could make more informed decisions. And they said they preferred I stay there rather than go home. I said, that's fine with me. And so I would just use my state credit card for the hotel, and the state apparently pays it, and I get a per diem check. Why that is being done is really the best person to ask that is Kevin Brooks. He's the executive, I think he's the director for administrative service for the department. He's the one that issues these checks and authorizes a waiver for it. I never asked for it. It was asked for by the executive director for the board support, and Kevin Brooks is the one that authorized it. Now, do I agree with it? I think I probably do. I don't like the idea of working until 10 or 11 o'clock and then having to drive back to my home in the hillside. It's about a 45-minute drive in the winter, and I'm pretty fatigued. I think I'd just better just go to my hotel room. And the hotel we're staying is generally where all the stakeholders stay, all the board members stay, and many staff members. So it really is
in the best interest of the state, and that's exactly what Kevin Brooks said when he authorized. It's in the best interest of the state to authorize these payments. So the request was done by board support and authorized by Kevin Brooks. And yes, I am receiving hotel, and I am receiving per diem.
Mr. Johnstone, I'd just like to clarify one thing. Did you say you used a state credit card?
Yes, all board members are given a state credit card, and we're authorized to charge certain things, not everything. We're authorized to charge our hotel room to the state credit card. We can't charge meals because we get per diem. We can't charge a lot of things, but all I've ever used a state credit card for is for the hotel itself and no other benefits besides the hotel.
Just so you know, not even legislators are given a state credit card. I'm somewhat shocked by that practice. So thank you. I can understand
that. And and I will say this, maybe a lot of you don't know. Since when I attend the meetings, they're often in the middle of the winter, and during those times, I'm oftentimes in Arizona. Whenever a meeting is in Southeast, I pay my round-trip fare to the meetings in Southeast, Petersburg, Ketchikan, Sitka. And if it's in Anchorage, I pay my round-trip fare to Anchorage. And if it's in Homer, I pay my round-trip fare to Anchorage, and then I'm provide transportation from Anchorage to Homer. So I'm not going backwards yet on this. I get an honorarium, but I'm pushing in that direction right now.
Thank you. Additional questions? Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. More so policy question for Mr. Johnston. And a few years ago, we had the salmon, cooking inlet salmon task force. A few of the members of this committee were on that. And a big concern was the Matsu Valley drainages and how we get more salmon back to there, to that area. That's an area where a lot of my constituents like to fish, not so much these days because the salmon numbers have dropped a lot. And if you could talk just for a minute about ideas, suggestions you may have to how we can get more salmon to return to the Matsu Valley drainages.
Well, I wish I had the crystal ball through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. I wish I had the crystal ball about that. Little did I think back in 1967 and 68 when I started fishing in the valley that we would close down five or six of the Chinook River streams because there just was no escapement and declare them stocks of concern. Little did I think that we would shut down the sockeye fishery up there because the Yentna became a stock of concern. Who would ever guess that those robust rivers would have no more fish in them? And so the answer to your question is very perplexing. We've taken some steps in the meeting we had last March, Upper Cook Inlet, by moving some of the Kenai drift fleet out of spots where there were some mixed stocks. There were some stocks going up to the Northern District around Susitna Valley and some going into the Kenai River and Kasiloth, and we took the drift fleet out of there for some periods, a couple of periods, I believe, and moved them closer to the terminal areas for the Kenai and Kasiloth to allow the sockeye and some of the kings that might be commingled with the Kenai kings and sockeyes to move up north. I don't know what the numbers are now, if we achieved our results. I heard we might be achieving some of our results, but what has happened is that those fish, for the most part, have been intercepted over the historical periods of time. And I think the board needs to address the diversity of these stocks. We need to make sure whatever we do, these stocks go up north, and at the same time protect the commercial fleet and their ability to catch the stocks that are going into the Kenai and Kasiloth. I'm at a loss for the perfect answer. I think we still have lots of work to do, Senator.
Yeah, just a comment, Mr. Chair, if I could. Yeah, just please know, the legislature does not get into, tries not to get into the allocation issues, and we leave that to you. And so just please understand that this does remain a huge concern for many of us in Anchorage, Matsu, the most populous region in all of Alaska. This is where we go to fish, and they're just not getting the fish returns that we want. So please understand this continues to be a big concern for us. Thank you.
Certainly, Senator, and I fully understand that, and it's a big concern to me, too, and I'm sure other members of the board as well.
Additional questions? Senator Pasavan?
Not as a question, but more of a comment on my direct professional contact with then-Judge Johnstone many years ago. A committee was formed, and there was a rewriting of the mandatory disclosure rules under the civil rules of procedure, and so I don't know how many years ago that was, but just that for purposes of making sure the committee is aware of that direct professional contact that I had with then Judge Johnstone. And secondarily, just through extended family of mine, just through Mr. Huntington, I believe he does know the Yukon and Koyukuk River system, and so just through family members of mine, just making sure everyone is aware of that.
Any other questions of either of the candidates Board of Fish from members of the committee? Seeing none, Chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we forward the nominees, and in accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Resource Committee would forward the following names to a joint session of the legislature for a hearing for the Board of Fisheries: Carl Johnstone and Orville Huntington. And it should be noted that this does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions.
Okay. With that, we'll take a short recess. Call committee back to order. At this time, we'll have a short presentation on HB 118. Where's that? There it is.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wagner and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Winetta Ayers. I'm the Director for the Division of Economic Development in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. With me is Joanna Bales, Deputy Director for the Division of Tax in the Department of Revenue. We'd like to thank you for this opportunity to provide a brief presentation on House Bill 118, which establishes a research and development tax credit to incentivize innovation and economic activity in our state. The Departments of Commerce and Revenue have provided a full presentation on the bill in your agenda packets. Additionally, you're going to find letters of support and additional documentation from the University of Alaska, from a number of seafood industry businesses and organizations, small businesses, the financial services sector, entrepreneurs, the aerospace industry, and the minerals industry. As you review these materials, what you'll see is that there's widespread support for the creation of a research and development tax credit in Alaska. An R&D tax credit can have far-reaching benefits in not only our core industries, but new industries that might be attracted to our state. in this increasingly competitive global marketplace that we operate in. It will also position Alaska for new business investment and take advantage of our climate, our global position, our natural resources, and human capital to bring this new economic activity to our state. 38 other states already have a research and development tax credit or some form of research and development incentive. By incentivizing the process and product innovation, the state of Alaska can create a business climate that will help Alaska businesses grow and create well-paying jobs for Alaskans. House Bill 118 seeks to position Alaska's economy and business climate for diversification, growth, and opportunity. I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Bales now, who will speak about the mechanics of the bill.
For the record, Joanna Bales, Deputy Director of the Tax Division. The way this legislation works is that will allow each Alaska corporation a tax credit of up to 20% of qualified research and development expenses incurred in Alaska. So those activities must take place in Alaska. The credit is only on the amount of increased research and development activity in the state. So if we have a taxpayer that has conducted research in Alaska in the past, the research activity that they incur going forward that would be allowed a credit on would be have to increase the average of the last 3 years. So for example, if they spent $1 million a year in the last 3 years, the average would be $1 million a year. If they only spent $900,000 in the next year, they wouldn't be allowed a credit. But if they spent $1.1 million, the credit would be 20% of the increased amount of the $100,000. And any unused portion of the credit could be carried forward for 7 years if they didn't have enough tax liability to write it off in a particular year. The research and development activities that would be allowed, the way this language works is that we adopt the federal code, so we would have all of that federal tax structure in place that would allow us to piggyback on to ensure that taxpayers are conducting qualified research and development. So the purpose would be discovering information that's technological in nature, the application of which is intended to be useful in the development of a new or improved component of the taxpayer, and substantially all of the activities constitute a process of experimentation. So those are the types of things that would qualify, and like I said, we would piggyback on the federal code.
Question, Joanne. Mm-hmm. What about a company that had less than 3 years of history? Say they had a year of history.
Mr. Chairman, it would be 3 years. So what we're trying to do is entice them to come up here. So it would be whatever. So if they spent $100,000 in the preceding year, it would be the 3 years. So the $100,000 would be divided by three.
You can get it after your first year. You just only get it based on a very small amount of money,
yeah,
or one-third of your spend.
I see. Okay. Any questions? This is just to introduce the bill, and we can have a longer presentation when we have more time. Senator French.
While they're here, and these are two very hardworking ladies, I can promise you they came to my office. They made a great presentation. I appreciate your work ethic, and it's impressive. But in my packet, I have... are you talking about this? Can we talk about it?
Sure. Good.
I mean, I'm just curious. I don't know. I've been given an amendment. I don't know if you've seen this. If you haven't seen it, then there's no point. I was just curious what your thoughts were, because heck,
was that the amendment to Senator Wallachowski worked out?
Yeah.
Maybe you can give them a copy of that, and absolutely, then they can look at that. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we talk about it once they change.
Yeah, we'll make sure they get a copy of the amendment.
Yeah, I'm just curious about see what the administration thinks there.
I haven't called for any amendments or anything yet. Anyway.
Very good. But if we're killing a few minutes, otherwise, plus we're two out of three. The people.
Fill the bill.
No. I like this idea. I think more investment's a good idea.
Well, since we have time, Mr. Chairman,
you're
aware this is, we had an amendment drafted we just got it to essentially relating to reporting and analysis of tax credits. And this is similar to the bill that we had that you testified. My office has been working very closely with yours. And we thought this was an opportunity to get a little bit more information about where we're spending our credit money. And I know we've worked very closely with you, so I do intend to offer this amendment. And if you have suggestions on it or ways to improve it, I'm happy to get you a copy and sit down with you and talk some more with you about it.
Thanks. That'd be helpful.
Anything else, ladies? Well, with that, then we'll hold the bill. And I was going to try to have a presentation on Senate Bill 207, but
No.
We're just going to say we don't have the sponsor here, any of his staff, so we'll take that up at a later time. With that, today's resource meeting is adjourned.